Well, I appreciate you coming back to the Southern Saints podcast. I tell you what, we got an interesting one today. We're going to be talking about homosexuality in the church. We're going to be talking about the position of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on homosexuality, same-sex attraction, this whole deal with genders. Are there more than two genders? What's going on? So what is the position of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? And that's what this episode's about. Coming up on the Southern Saints podcast. Here we go. All right, let's get this started here. Okay, now I want to begin this episode by teaching you a basic doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For those of you who are not members of our church and are familiar with the Old and New Testaments, this doctrine will sound familiar to you, and perhaps many of you have long sought after the return of such doctrine. I will read two scriptures to you to introduce this doctrine. The first one in Isaiah 62:6, which says, "I have set the watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." And the second one is in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, which says, "Surely the Lord God would do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." One of the many unique doctrines of our church is the doctrine of prophets and revelation. A prophet is a person who has been called of God to speak for him. Prophets testify of Jesus Christ and teach his gospel. They make known God's will and true character. They denounce sin and warn of its consequences. At times, they prophesy of future events. Many teachings of prophets are found in the scriptures. As we study the words of prophets, we can learn truth and receive guidance. As members of this church, we sustain the president of the church as a prophet, seer, and revelator, and the only person on the earth who receives revelation to guide the entire church. We also sustain the counselors in the first presidency and the members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles as prophets, seers, and revelators. The scripture I read in Isaiah reveals the necessity of and a critical purpose of a prophet by using the word watchman. Now think for a moment in your mind. Think of a mighty fortress. This fortress has high walls surrounding it. The fortress is designed to protect the people inside its walls. So let's compare. Let's say the fortress is the church. The best fortresses, I think, had towers built in the walls and were usually built at the gates or in the corners of the walls. The towers provided elevated positions from which to view approaching danger. The watchmen are positioned in these towers, and they look out beyond the walls of the fortress. When the enemy approaches, the watchmen can see them far off and warn the people inside the tower of the approaching danger. Prophets are the watchmen. The advantages of a prophet for God's children are of basic understanding. They have an elevated view. When God calls a prophet, he is separated from the world and is allowed to see things from a more heavenly perspective. A prophet, in the role of a seer, can know of things which are past and also of things which are to come. And by them shall all things be revealed, or rather, shall secret things be made manifest. And hidden things shall come to light, and things which are not known shall be made known by them. And also things shall be made known by them which otherwise could not be known. M. Russell Ballard, a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, said, quote, through the centuries, prophets have fulfilled their duty when they have warned people of the dangers before them. The Lord's apostles are duty-bound to watch, warn, and reach out to help those seeking answers to life's questions. Close quote. The Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 3, starting at verse 17, he said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. This is the basic role of a prophet of God. We believe this pattern of leadership among God's children continues today. I want to give you an example of what I just explained to you. I will give a real example of a prophet, a watchman, looking off into the distance, seeing an enemy approaching, turn around and address the church, making perfectly clear the will of the Lord concerning the approaching danger. 28 years ago, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Gordon B. Hinckley, along with the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, made a proclamation to the entire world titled, The Family, A Proclamation to the World. This proclamation is only 9 paragraphs long, but think of all the craziness in the world today and listen carefully to this proclamation given from a watchman nearly 30 years ago. The Family, A Proclamation to the World. Beginning now. Says, we, the First Presidency and the Council of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, solemnly proclaim that marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God and the family, and that the family is central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of His children. All human beings, male and female, are created in the image of God. Each is a beloved spirit, son or daughter of heavenly parents. And as such, each has a divine nature and destiny. Gender is an essential characteristic of individual, premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose. Now, I will pause here. Think about this just for a moment. Nearly 30 years ago, the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ says, hey world, let me tell you something about gender. Gender is an essential characteristic of your identity and purpose. Now let's face some real facts here. It doesn't matter what you look or feel like, you are either male or female. Your chromosomes are either XX or XY. There is no amount of want or desire that can change that. What we teach is that if you were born XX chromosomes, you are a female. And if XY chromosomes, you are a male. Now, I recognize that the words male and female are just words we have designated in our language for the two genders of the human race. Take those two words, put them in a bowl, mix them up, switch them up, do whatever you want to, all day long with them. But the fact remains, your DNA reveals XX or XY. What we want the world to know and understand is, those of you with XX chromosomes, you are a female. And Heavenly Father has designated a specific identity and purpose to you as a female. In fact, we teach not only is your mortal body female, but your premortal identity is female as well. Your spirit is female. Same with XY chromosomes with males. You are male, inside and out. Male and female genders have distinct identities and purposes according to the plan and will of our Heavenly Father. The leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ was nearly 30 years ahead of the absolute mess ravaging our society today. Why? Because they are literally the watchmen in the tower, and by revelation are able to see what's coming and literally proclaim to the world the mind and will of God concerning the approaching dangers. The doctrine of prophets and apostles, actually called of God, is good, sound, biblical doctrine, and exactly what the world needs today. Now let me get back to the proclamation. Continuing, in the premortal realm, spirit sons and daughters knew and worshiped God as their eternal Father and accepted His plan by which His children could obtain a physical body and gain earthly experience to progress towards perfection and ultimately realize their divine destiny as heirs of eternal life. The divine plan of happiness enables family relationships to be perpetuated beyond the grave. Sacred ordinances and covenants available in holy temples make it possible for individuals to return to the presence of God and for families to be united eternally. The first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve pertained to their potential for parenthood as husband and wife. We declare that God's commandment for His children to multiply and replenish the earth remains in force. We further declare that God has commanded that the sacred powers of procreation are to be employed only between man and woman, lawfully wedded as husband and wife. We declare the means by which mortal life is created to be divinely appointed. We affirm the sanctity of life and of its importance in God's eternal plan. Husband and wife have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear the children in love and righteousness, to provide for their physical and spiritual needs, and to teach them to love and serve one another, observe the commandments of God, and be law-abiding citizens wherever they live. Husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, will be held accountable before God for the discharge of these obligations. The family is ordained of God. Marriage between man and woman is essential to His eternal plan. Children are entitled to birth within the bonds of matrimony and to be reared by a father and a mother who honor marital vows with complete fidelity. Happiness in family life is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities. By divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection for their families. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. Disability, death, and other circumstances may necessitate individual adaptation. Extended families should lend support when needed. We warn that individuals who violate covenants of chastity, who abuse spouse or offspring, or who fail to fulfill family responsibilities will one day stand accountable before God. Further, we warn that the disintegration of the family will bring upon individuals, communities, and nations the calamities foretold by ancient and modern prophets. We call upon responsible citizens and officers of government everywhere to promote those measures designed to maintain and strengthen the family as the fundamental unit of society. And that is the end of The Family, A Proclamation to the World, read by President Gordon B. Hinckley in 1995. Now, why do I tell you all this? I want you to understand why the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is firm and unwavering in its position on family, marriage, and even gender identity. The Lord has revealed to us very specifically His position on these topics, and the Lord's position will always be our position. We not only have the wonderful scriptures in our lives to help lead and guide us, but we say that the Lord continues to lead and direct the affairs of our church through His prophets by direct revelation and inspiration from the Holy Ghost. To have the written word and a living prophet is a powerful combination. I say, in fact, the combination the Lord knows this world needs in these crazy times, and indeed provided it for all His children. I want to lay out to you the official position of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on homosexuality, same-sex attraction, and same-sex marriage. So what is the Church's position on homosexuality? The Church opposes homosexual behavior, and we reach out with understanding and respect to people with same gender attraction. The Church teaches that human sexuality has a purpose in Heavenly Father's plan. In order for us to be happy and to fulfill that purpose, we are commanded to live the law of chastity, which is sexual relations only between a man and a woman who is legally and lawfully married. That is the law of chastity within the Church. Homosexual behavior is contrary to that purpose and violates God's commandments. However, if someone is attracted to people of the same gender and does not act on these feelings, he or she has not sinned. The Church's standard for morality is the same for everyone. No matter which gender one feels attracted to, neither the Lord nor His Church can condone any behavior that violates His laws. Again, we condemn the immoral behavior, not the person. The same-sex attraction. Now this, what I'm about to read, comes from the official handbook of the Church. Same-sex attraction and same-sex behavior. The Church encourages families and members to reach out with sensitivity, love, and respect to persons who are attracted to others of the same sex. The Church also promotes understanding in society at large that reflects its teachings about kindness, inclusiveness, love for others, and respect for all human beings. The Church does not take a position on the causes of same-sex attraction. God's commandments forbid all unchaste behavior, either heterosexual or same-sex. Feeling same-sex attraction is not a sin. Members who have these feelings and do not pursue or act upon them are living in accordance with Heavenly Father's plan for His children and with Church doctrine. Leaders support and encourage them in their resolve to live according to the commandments of the Lord. Members with these feelings may receive church callings, have temple recommends, and receive temple ordinances if they are worthy. And male members of the Church may receive and exercise the priesthood. All members who keep their covenants will receive all promised blessings in the eternities. Whether or not their circumstances allow them to receive the blessing of eternal marriage and parenthood in this life. Same-sex marriage. As a doctrinal principle based on the scriptures, the Church affirms that marriage between a man and a woman is essential to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of His children. The Church also affirms that God's law defines marriage as the legal and lawful union between a man and a woman. Only a man and a woman who are legally and lawfully wedded as husband and wife should have sexual relations. Any other sexual relations, including those between persons of the same sex, are sinful and undermine the divinely created institution of the family. Back to Elder M. Russell Ballard again. He states, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believes that the experience of same-sex attraction is a complex reality for many people. The attraction itself is not a sin, but acting on it is. Even though individuals do not choose to have such attractions, they do choose how to respond to them. With love and understanding, the church reaches out to all God's children, including those with same-sex attraction." Close quote. By Russell Ballard. Now, in closing, I want to say a few words for those of you who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ and are struggling with the church's position here. The church's position is always the Lord's position, because the Lord reveals to the brethren what to put out as the official position of the church. The position on homosexuality, the law of chastity, marriage between a man and a woman only, and gender is anchored doctrine. These will not change. The Lord does not walk a crooked path, neither does he turn to the left or to the right. The prophets and apostles have taught this over and over. Do not wait on the Lord to change his mind on these issues. Do not hope and wish for God to embrace the ways of the world. As I told a great friend of mine, we all have challenges to overcome, but we must work through the fact the Lord does not conform to the ways of the world like we so easily do. As unfair as things may seem to us, it's our job to conform to the Lord's ways, not his, to ours. All right. So thanks for listening to this episode, and stay tuned for more interesting topics that we can come up with to talk about as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have more to come. So stay tuned and wait for more. All right. I'm out.